Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 12th of December, 2016. We are going to be beginning the second book of Shamuel in the Hebrew. It's a continuation of the first book of Shamuel. Both books were one book at one time, but they were separated by churchianity. So let's get into this here. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Shaul, when David returned from the smiting of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag, verse 2, it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out from the camp with Shaul, with his clothes rent, and soil, that's 127, Adama, upon his head. And it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. Verse 3. Said David to him, how went the matter? Please tell me. And he answered, the people have fled from the battle, and many of the people, pardon me, I got to clear my throat. Yeah, that cough gets away from me every once in a while. The people have fled from the battle, and many of the people are also fallen and dead. And Shaul and Jehonathan, his son, are dead also. Oh boy. That was David's best friend. That's bad. Verse 5. Said David to the young man that told him, how do you know that Shaul and Jehonathan are dead? Verse 6. Said the young man that told him, I chanced to be present, and that's all one word, 7136, in the encounter, 7122, at Mount Gilboa, and beheld Shaul leaning, 8172, upon his spear, and lo, the chariots, 7393, and horsemen, 6571, pursued closely, 1692. Let's stop right here. Verses 6 through 10, you can reference 1 Samuel 31, chapters 1 through, or verses 1 through 6, and 1 Chronicles 10, verses 1 through 6. Verse 7, when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me. I answered, behold me, 2009. That's one word. Literally, here I am. Verse 8, said he to me, who are you? And I answered him, I am an Amaleki. He's an Amalekite. Verse 9, said he to me, please stand over me and kill me, because anguish, 7661, has taken hold of me, because my life is yet whole in me. In other words, he was full of arrows and was really hurting, and he knew he was going to die, but he didn't want to suffer. Verse 10, so I stood over him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown, 5145, that was upon his head, and the bracelet, 685, that was upon his arm, and have brought them here to my Lord. Verse 11. Now this is extremely bad news. Dawid took hold, 2388, that's to seize, of his clothes and rent them. He just tore them. And likewise all the men that were with him, because the king had just died, even if he was a bad king. Verse 12, and they lamented, 5594, and wept, 1058, and fasted, 6684, until evening, for Shaul and for Jaonathan, his son, and for the people of Yahweh and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. Verse 13, said Dawid to the young men that told him, from where then are you? And he answered, I am the son of a resident alien, 1616, a sojourner, man, and Amaleki. Verse 14, said Dawid to him, how were you not afraid to stretch forth your hand to destroy Yahweh's anointed? Speaking of Saul, he was still anointed, and his non-Israelite was not to touch him. Verse 15, called Dawid one of the young men and said, approach and strike him down, 6293. And he smote him unto death. He killed that messenger. And while he was still alive, evidently, said, verse 16, said Dawid to him, your blood is upon your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, I have slain Yahweh's anointed. So that ended that Amalekite's life. He really messed up. Now here is a dirge, which is a funeral song of Dawid. Verse 17. Dawid chanted, 6969, with this dirge, 7015, over Shaul and over Jaonathan, his son. Or Jaonathan, actually. Yah has given. Verse 18. Also he said to teach the children of Yehuda the bow. Teach is 39:25. Now, behold, it is written upon the scroll, 5612, of Jasher. That's the book of Jasher, 3477, the book of the upright. Verse 18 here is considered as corrupted, and that is Jasher 56, verse 9, and Joshua 10, verse 13. Now, the bow, 7198, could be a song called the bow. Or it was the use of bows as weapons. We're not clear on that. Verse 19, this begins the dirge. Let me get a drink of water and clear my throat, please, before I get into this. All right, verse 19. Now, this is a song. The beauty, 6643, of Israel is slain, 2491, upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? This is all about Shaul and Jonathan. Verse 20. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Pelishtim rejoice. Lest the daughters of the possessors of foreskins exult. Verse 21. O hills of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you. No fields of contribution, 8641. That's Terumoth, and that's set aside for the priests. For there the shield, 4043, of the mighty is rejected. 1602, the shield of Shaul, not smeared with oil to prevent rust. 4886, not anointed. Verse 22, from the blood of the slain, from the fat, 2459, of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Shaul did not return in vain. 7387. Because Jonathan was his best friend. He really, they were close. Verse 23. Shaul and Jonathan, lovely and delightful. Lovely is 157 and delightful is 5273. In their lives and in their death, never separated, 6504. Now, he's not hitting on the bad points of Sheol here. He's not going to speak bad of the dead. Swifter, 7043, than eagles, 5404. Stronger, 1396, than lions, 738. He's really talking them up. This is very complimentary. Verse 24. Daughters of Israel, weep over Shaul, who clothed you in scarlet and luxury, putting on ornaments, 5716, of gold upon your raiment. Now, daughters of Israel, those are the towns of Israel. He did make a lot of improvements and fixed things up. He did some good stuff. Verse 25, how the mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan slain on your high places, on the tops of the hills. Verse 26, I am distressed, 6887, over you, my brother Jonathan. Verily delightful, 5276, you were to me. Your love, 160, was wonderful, 6381, to me, beyond the love of women. Now, brotherly love was even better than the love of a woman because they fought together, they did all the plans, they worked together, they supported each other. Doesn't mean he was a faggot. Brotherly love is not homosexual love. Okay? Verse 27, how are the mighty fallen? The weapons, 3627, of war perished. That's number six. He is likening Shaul and Jonathan as weapons of war. And that ends chapter 1 of the second book of Samuel. We're going to get into chapter 2 here. And you have to understand the poetic usage of the Hebrew language here. Their poetry is not like our poetry. They were very flowery, and they used a lot of figuratives and metaphors, not literal comparisons. Very complimentary. And the second book of Samuel, chapter 2, concerns Dawid becoming the king of Yehuda. He would later become all of Israel's king, but right now the tribes of Yehuda wanted him to rule. Verse 1 of chapter 2. It was after this Dawid inquired of Yahweh, saying, shall I go up to one of the towns of Yehuda? Said Yahweh to him, go up. Said Dawid, where shall I go up? And he said, that's being Yahweh, Hebrona, 2275, that's Hebron, okay? Verse 2, so Dawid went up there with his two wives also, Ahinoam the Yisraelith, and Abigail, wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Now, chapter 2 here, you can reference 1 Samuel 25, verses 42 and 43. Verse 3, the men with him Dawid brought up, the men of his household, and they dwelt in the towns of Hebron. The men of Yehuda, these are the leaders, came, and there they anointed Dawid king over the house of Yehuda. They told Dawid, saying, the men of Jabesh Gilead were those that buried Shaul. Verse 5. Well, okay, verse 4, you can reference 1 Samuel 31, verses 11 through 13. Verse 5, sent Dawid messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead, saying to them, blessed be you of Yahweh, that you did this kindness to your Lord, to Shaul, and have buried him. Verse 6, may now Yahweh do kindness and faithfulness to you. I also will do you this kindness because you have done this thing. Very honorable thing that they did. Verse 7, now let your hands be strengthened and be sons of valor, for your master Shaul is dead, and also the house of Yehuda has anointed me king over them. Verse 8, but Abner, that means my father is Ner, that's what that means. But Abner, son of Ner, commander of Shaul's army, took Ish-bosheth, 378, and that means man of shame, son of Shaul, and brought him over to Machanaim, or 266. and made him king over Gilead, the Asheri, 805, Yisrael, Ephraim, Binyamin, and all Israel. Verse 10, 40 years of age was Ish-bosheth, son of Shaul, when he became king over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Yehuda followed Dawid. Verse 11, the full time that Dawid was king in Hebron over the house of Yehuda was 7 years and 6 months. Now we're going to get into war between Israel and Yehuda. Verse 12, Abner, son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, son of Shaul, went forth from Machanaim to Gibeon. Verse 13, Joab, 309-7, son of Zeruiah, 68-70, and the servants of Dawid went forth and met together, 6298 and 3162, by the pool, 1295, of Gibeon, and they sat down, these on this side and those on the other side. Verse 14, said Abner to Joab, let the young men now rise up and make sport before us. 7832, make sport, in other words, engage in single combat. Said Joab, let them rise up. Verse 15, there rose up and passed over by number 12 of Binyamin of Ish-bosheth, son of Shaul, and 12 of the servants of Dawid. Verse 16, they seized each man another man by the head and thrust his sword in the other side, so they fell down together. So that the place was called Kelkoth Hatsurim, 2521. That field of the flints. These are flints as sharp blades, which is in Gibeon. All right. And they said they seized him by the head. They grabbed him by the beard. Verse 17. There was a very severe 7186 battle that day, and Abner was smitten, 5062, and the men of Israel before the servants of Dawid. In other words, the Yehudites beat the men of the rest of Israel. Verse 18. There were 3 sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. 6214. Asahel was swift, 7031, of foot as a wild gazelle, 6643. Verse 19. Asahel pursued after Abner. As he went, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner, because they were fleeing. Abner looked behind him and said, are you Asahel? And he answered, I am. And said Abner to him, turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and lay hold on one of the young men and take away his armor. 2488. But Asahel would not turn aside from following. Verse 22, said Abner to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I smite you to the ground? How could I raise up my face to Joab your brother? verse 23. He refused to turn aside, so smote Abner with the hinder end of the spear. That's the bottom of the spear, didn't have a point on it, to the belly, but he hit him so hard. Okay. So that the spear came forth from behind him, and he fell down there and died in that place. And it was all that came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. They were shocked. They were shocked. He didn't mean to kill him, but he did. Verse 24, he was going to poke him in the belly. Well, he was so strong, he poked him so hard with Asahel running up behind him that the combined forces had made the spear go through him and it killed him. Verse 24, pursued Joab and Abishai after Abner, because they were going to get him for killing their brother. And the sun went down when they came to the hill of Amnah, 522, that faces upon Giok, 1520, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. Verse 25, the children of Benjamin gathered after Abner and became one group. They all came together and stood on the top of a hill. Verse 26, called out Abner to Joab and said, must a sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitterness? 4751 at the end, 314. How long without you saying to the people to turn back from following their kinsmen? They had brother killing brother there. Same way we have been killing our brothers at the behest of the Jews. We never seem to learn. Verse 27. Said Joab, as Elohim lives, because unless you had spoken, surely then in the morning the people would have gone up every man from following his kinsmen. Verse 28, so Joab blew a shofar, that's a ram's horn trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, nor fought any more. Verse 29, Abner and his men walked all night through the Arabah, 6160, and passed over the Jordan River, and went through all of Bithron, 1338, and came to Machanaim. Verse 30. Joab returned from following Abner, and he gathered all the people. There was missing of Dawood's servants 19 men and Asahel. They only lost 19 men and Asahel. That's 20 total. Verse 31. But the servants of Dawood had smitten of Benjamin of Abner's men 360 men that died. Verse 32. They bore up Asahel and buried him in the tomb of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men walked all night and came to Hebron at daylight. So this is a great tragedy that happened. The killing, even though it was not intentional, of Asahel would be with Joab, and eventually Joab would murder Abner. Even after he had made peace with Dawud, and Dawud forgave him, and he was going to go his way and be a servant of Dawud, Joab is going to kill him eventually. This one event would follow him. And Joab was not a good man. He was not a forgiving and was deceptive and went against Dawud's order and eventually would... Shlomo, Dawud's son, would have Joab killed. That would be coming up later. We're here at chapter 3 of the second book of Shemuel. Verse 1, there was a long war between the house of Shaul and the house of Dawud. Ishbosheth was of the house of Shaul. Okay, and they were fighting. But Dawud walked, 1980, strongly, 2390, and the house of Shaul walked weakly, 1800. Dawud increased in power, and the house of Shaul was waning. Verse 2 of chapter 3. Born to Dawud were sons in Hebron. Firstborn was Amnon, 550, of Ahinoam the Yisraelith. And verses 2 through 5 of this chapter, you can reference 1 Chronicles 3, verses 1 through 4. And a note, 1 Chronicles has different numbering order of the sons. Verse 3. The second, Chileab, at Chileab, 3609, by Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmeli. The third, Absalom, 53, son of Maacah, daughter of Talmai, 8526, king of Geshur. Verse 4. The fourth, Adonijah, 138, son of Haggith, 2294. The fifth, Shephatiah, 8203, son of Abital. Verse 5. The sixth, Yithream, 5707, by Eglah, Dawud's wife. So he had a bunch of wives. Now remember Michal, she never had kids because she really messed up. These were born to Dawud at Hebron. Now, here we're going to get into a section where Abner joins Dawud, becomes an ally. But I told you, he's going to get killed. Verse 6, it was while there was war between the house of Shaul and the house of Dawud that Abner was strong, 2388, for the house of Shaul. Verse 7, Shaul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, 7532, daughter of Aiah, 345, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore, 4069, have you gone into my father's concubine? That means to have sex with her. Oh, man, that was a big Betty. You didn't do that. And he didn't do it. Verse 8, Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, am I a dog's head which belongs to Yehuda, doing kindness this day to Shaul, your father, and to his kinsmen, and to his friends, and have not delivered you up to the hand of Dawid, that you lay upon me today iniquity concerning this woman? He was mad. You're messing with my father's concubine. Oh, no, he wasn't. Verse 9. So do Elohim to Abner, and more also, because as Yahweh has sworn to Dawid, and even so I do to him. Verse 10, to pass over the kingdom from the house of Shaul, and to set up the throne of Dawid over Israel and over Yehuda. From Dan, 1835, that was a city named after Dan, the tribe of Dan, to Be'er Sheba, the well of Sheba. Well, he scared the living heck out of this Ishbosheth. Verse 11, he could not return Abner a word again from fear of him. Verse 12, Abner sent messengers to Dawid on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Saying, make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand is with you to turn around, 5437, all Israel to you. Now here's verse 13, and I want you to notice this, that it is radically different from the King James Version translation. This is the corrected thing according to as it says in the Hebrew. Verse 13, said he, good, I will make a covenant with you. But one thing I demand, 7592, from you by command, or by my word, my saying, 559, you shall not appear before me unless before me you bring Michal, M-I-Y-C-H-A-L, Michal, daughter of Shaul, when you come to appear before me. Because she had been given to another man. Verse 14, Dawid sent messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Shaul, saying, give me my wife Michal, which I betrothed, 781, to me for 100 foreskins of the Pelishtim. And verse 14, you can reference 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 27, where he did that. Verse 15, Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Paltiel, 6409, son of Laish, 3919. Verse 16, her husband walked with her, going weeping, 1058, after her to Bakurim, 980. Said Abner to him, go, return. And he returned. In other words, he said, you get out of here, or I'm going to stick you. That was Abner. He was a rough customer. Verse 17, Abner had spoken with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for Dawid to become king over you in times past. Verse 18, now do it, because Yahweh has spoken of Dawid, saying, by the hand of my servant Dawid, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Pelishtim and from the hands of their hated enemies. Verse 19. Abner also spoke in the ears of Binyamin, that's the tribe of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of Dawid in Hebron all that was good in the eyes of Israel and in the eyes of the whole house of Binyamin. Now, break here for a minute. Binyamin would eventually become staunch allies with Yehuda. They were very close in proximity, and they were counted after the split of the tribes. Binyamin stayed with Yehuda. Verse 20. So Abner came to Dawid at Hebron, and 20 men with him. Dawid made a feast, 49-60, for Abner and the men that were with him. Verse 21. Said Abner to Dawid, I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and so you may reign over all that your heart desires. Heart is 5315, is inner being. Dawid sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Verse 22. Behold, the servants of Dawid and Joab came from a raid, 14:16, and brought in great spoil with them. But Abner was not with Dawid in Hebron, because he had sent him away and he was gone in peace. Verse 23. When Joab and all the army that was with him had come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Uh-oh, he was notified. Verse 24, Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came to you, and why have you sent him away, and he is gone? Verse 25, you know Abner, son of Ner, for he came to deceive you. 6601. To know you're going forth and coming in, to know all you do. Well, he hated Abner because he had killed his brother. So that's Joab. Verse 26, when Joab came forth from before Dawid, he sent messengers after Abner. And they returned with him from the well, 953, of Sirah, 5626. But Dawid did not know. He didn't tell him. This is a deception on the part of Joab. Verse 27, when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside, 5186, to the middle of the gate to speak with him quietly. 7987, and smote into his belly, 2570, so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Now, he had acted right here as kinsman avenger. But he didn't have the right to do so because there was war. And it wasn't a random killing or an accidental killing or a murder. It was war. And you don't do that. But you can reference Numbers 35, verse 12, Deuteronomy 19, verses 6 and 12, and Joshua 20, verses 3, 5, and 9. And you can reference Asahel and 2 Samuel 2, verse 23. Verse 28. Let me get a drink of water here. I'm getting a little dry. So when Dawid heard, he said, I and my kingdom are free from guilt, 5355, from before Yahweh until everlasting from the blood of Abner, son of Ner. In other words, it all was on Joab, and it says so in the next verse. Verse 29, may it rest upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house, and let there not fail to be 3772 from the house of Joab one that has a flow 2100 or is leprous 6879 or a male that holds 2388 a spindle 6418 or falls by the sword or that lacks food. In other words, let all these things fall upon the house of Abner. This is a curse on the house of Joab for what he did. And a flow is an unclean discharge. Okay. Leprous is leprous. A male that holds a spindle. That's disgraceful for a man to do. It's a woman's work. Verse 30. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew 2026. Now this is concerning private violence. Abner, because he had slain 4191. Now that's battle violence. Their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. It was not a personal killing. It was not lawful. They went against the command of the king. This was not the act of a kinsman avenger. This was just private hatred. When you kill in war, after the war is over, it's over. Verse 31, said Dawud to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird yourselves with sackcloth and wail, 5594, before Abner. That's while marching before the bier. And King Dawud followed the bier. He went in the funeral procession for Abner. The bier is 4296. Verse 32, they buried Abner in Hebron. The king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. Verse 33, the king chanted over Abner and said, should Abner have died as a fool dies? Verse 34. Your hands were not bound, nor your feet brought near fetters. As a son falls before sons of injustice. That's B'nai Awalah. So you fell. In other words, sons of injustice. He's speaking of Joab. And all the people wept again over him. This is going to come back on Joab's head later. Verse 35. When all the people came to cause Dawud to eat food while it was still day, Dawud swore, saying, so do Elohim to me and more also, if I taste food or anything at all, before the sun goes down. He fasted all day in honor of Abner. And the people liked it. Here it comes. Verse 36. All the people took note of it, and it was pleasing in their eyes. All that the king did was pleasing in the eyes of the people. He did the honorarium, and that made big points with the people. Verse 37, take note of this. All the people and all of Israel knew that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, son of Ner. Verse 38, said the king to his servants, do you not know that a chief, 8269, and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? Verse 39, I am this day tender. 7390. Now that some have weak, and that is not right. It's as a child is tender and weak. Though anointed king, in other words, I'm just like a little child today, even though I'm king. And the men, these sons of Zeruiah, are too severe for me. 7186. Yahweh will recompense the doer of evil according to his wickedness. And that ends chapter 3. Now, we don't have any time. I'll be getting into chapter 4 tomorrow. This is just a tragic chapter. Brothers killing brother. An accidental killing. He practically begged Asahel to go away. Come on, quit following me. I don't want to hurt you. I'll have to answer to your brother. What am I going to say to him when I face him and I've taken your life? Go away. Quit following me. And he kept on. So he poked back with a spear. And he was a great big muscly. I mean, they were hard men in those days. They didn't have the great big fatties like we got today. And he poked back and he got him in the right spot and it went through his belly. And it was accidental, it was not intentional, but it was an act in the war. And Joab never forgot it, never forgave it. And then Joab did something wrong later in violation of Yahweh's laws. And there would be recompense on that. Now, it wouldn't come until the time of King Solomon. But Joab did more in the future, okay, in the time of King Solomon. It just, Joab was not a good dude. He was rebellious, and he just did what he wanted, and he killed a bunch of people he shouldn't kill. Well, we see that there was massive intrigue back in King Dawood's time, even though he was anointed king, there were people that were conspiring. The same thing goes today. Same thing goes today. The infighting among the politicians and the heads of state of the countries and the intrigue and the deception and conspiracies and lies and murders, assassinations. Somebody gets in the way of an oil contract and they mysteriously have an unfortunate accident. Funny how that happens, isn't it? Or President Kennedy wanting to get rid of the Federal Reserve and go back to a hard money-backed system, and by golly, somebody kills him. And the same thing that happened with President Lincoln, that they don't bring out the full story. He didn't want a private bank. He wanted U.S.-backed, gold-backed script. and somebody killed him. Funny how that happens, isn't it? And they have all these media-driven stories on how Kennedy was assassinated. And none of it's true. It's all smoke and mirrors to cover up. Cover up after cover up after cover up. Well, they really tried to do a number on King Dawood as well back in those days. And these were Israelites doing these things. Now, you can see the duplicity of our people. Our people don't have clean hands either. Okay, we don't. Why are we in dispersion if we're so righteous and holy? Well, we're in dispersion because we're not righteous and holy. And we rebelled against Yahweh. I mean, what can I say about that? It just is our modus operandi. We know that the Jews are responsible for many things. But so are we. We are complicit. Our own people are complicit back then in evil doing, and they are complicit today in evil doing. Same, different time periods, same actions. How many of our own people are heads of corporations that victimize our own people? Well, a lot, you know. We keep going along with the status quo with politicians. Our elections are smoke and mirrors. It just doesn't fly. Doesn't fly. It goes round and round and round and round and keeps repeating itself. And we don't seem to learn, for the most part, by our mistakes. Our people are asleep. Their eyes are closed, except for the Christian identity community. And we're working feverishly to wake people up. And as Eurofolk Radio grows, and it will, we exist for one explicit reason, and that is to serve Yahweh and get His truth out. And it wouldn't hurt anything if some of you hit that donate button at the top of the EFR page and helped us out a bit. Server time isn't free. Well, I'm getting pretty close to the top of the hour here, and I will be back with you with 2 Samuel 4 through 6 tomorrow on Tuesday. And until then, I will say Shalom Aleichem. That's peace be with you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh. Talk to you tomorrow.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Royal.